the absence of the chairman, I'll start. We expect Don Moore to be here tonight, and I think we have a long way to travel from.
Yeah.
So let me first, as part of my introduction, just read the statement that I have been doing, reading at these workshops. The purpose of Planning Commission workshops is to familiarize members with issues that will come before them, provide an opportunity for exchanging ideas regarding relevant topics, and to solicit agency or expert opinions to add to the body of knowledge before the Commission considers changes to the comprehensive plan, policy, or text of the Land Development Code. Workshops serve as a forum for training new members in procedural or administrative rules and for informing the Commission of changes in state statutes or case law that affect land use decisions. They provide an opportunity to determine the Commission's schedule of upcoming hearings, meetings, or future workshops, and a chance to form subcommittees or focus groups on land use issues. Because workshops are intended to serve the entire membership of the Planning Commission, full attendance is anticipated, and when a quorum is present, meetings are subject to Oregon public meetings law. Notice is published on the county's website, on the county meeting bulletin board, and is sent to local news media. Planning Commission workshops are open for the public to attend, are not an opportunity for public testimony. So we have a lot of people here tonight, and I just wanted to emphasize that last statement. This is a workshop for the Planning Commission, and we're asking for input from several individuals who are germane to our issues that we're discussing tonight on the agenda, but it is not an open forum for public input at this point. When the Commission finally is in a position to conduct public hearings on this matter, that's the time for public input. So we'll appreciate your understanding that tonight, those of you who have attended with the expectation possibly to speak. So with that, I'd also like everyone to know, and those who are speaking tonight, that this is a pretty big room. I don't know why we're so far apart, but that's all right. But could you show your little recorder? Wave it in there. That's what we have to record this meeting on. So please speak loudly.
I'm not trying to move the middle of this big side.
I could sit out there, yes.
A little table we could do. So with that, let us go on to item 2, Land Development Advisory Committee recommendations for revisions to the Rural Land Development Code.
Sure.
I'll ask our planning director, David Wechner, to make his comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf. My name is Dave Wechner, the planning director of Josephine County, and this is the second workshop of the Planning Commission on the LDAC recommendations. LDAC is the Land Development Advisory Committee. It's a board-appointed citizen committee. It was formed to look at the development code, look at state statute and rule, see the differences between those, and see if there were some opportunities to change standards that might compel more economic development in Josephine County and make some processes and procedures easier to implement. The recommendations coming from LDAC are that their recommendations, they go to the Planning Commission, who will be the hearing body, the initial hearing body on these items, and then recommendations go to the Board of Commissioners for final adoption for any ordinance changes. And I guess I just wanted to acknowledge in my opening remarks that a lot of work has been put into the recommendations, a lot of work, staff time, a lot of work from the LDAC members. Members of the public have attended. The Planning Commission will have a lot of work before them in reviewing those recommendations. And the process is kind of long, but I think we're all in it for the same thing, and that's to make the best code changes we can to the Josephine County Code. And I just ask the people sort of respect the effort that's gone into all of this. We have agency folks here that have something obviously at stake, and of course citizens. With that, I'd like to turn the 2A item over on Deer Winter Range to Jack Swift, who is a member of LDAC and is representing that subcommittee.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The
deer winter range comes from Article 69.2 called the deer overlay. And reading from that, the purpose of the deer overlay is to protect lands designated as critical deer winter range habitat from residential encroachment. The statute says, during winter months, deer living on high elevation ranges move to sensitive habitat areas below 2,500 feet for cover, water, and forage. Now, our Land Development Advisory Committee recommendation was before you is to eliminate this deer overlay except in areas of critical concern to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Okay. Specifically, that speaks to the area around about Galice and to the areas on the south slope of Grayback Mountain. The objective of the proposal that we have sent you is to remove the limitation on development providing for deer winter range. That's what it's all about. The commission delivered to the Development Advisory Committee was to identify and recommend for elimination restraints on county development which are not dictated or required by the state code. So, to that end, the deer overlay was identified by Grace Zilberberg, and a subcommittee was created to investigate what's the rationale, what's the basis for the overlay. We created a subcommittee. I was on that subcommittee. Grace was on the subcommittee. Margaret Goodwin was on the subcommittee. When we addressed the issue and looked at it, we, of course, used some of our personal experience. And that there was a lot of discussion in the Fish and Wildlife presentation that they brought to us about migratory deer. And the real bottom line to that from our experience was that in places like the High Cascades, the High Sierra in California, the Continental Divide in Colorado, you have genuine migrations. But experience in Jasper County suggests that the only migrations that go on here are the osprey in the summer and Canadian geese in the winter. Following that up, we took a look at a lot of the historic documentation that led to this. We invited the Fish and Wildlife folks to come and give us a presentation. And they had apparently completed a five-year study where they collared a certain number of deer, and then they tracked by radio the location of these critters and figured out how they moved or didn't move. In addition to that, after the presentation, the committee had a number of questions, and we forwarded those, and we got questions and answers back. On the basis of that background and that investigation, we came to the conclusion that there's no issue in Jasper County of migratory deer or elk. One of the documents, I think, in your handouts is an exhibit B3A, again produced by Fish and Wildlife. The big game situation in Jasper County is unique. Unlike many other counties, there are no migrating deer or elk populations. The only concern is ensuring that during extremely severe winters, which they say one out of every 10 years, there's enough foliage below 2,500 feet to ensure maintenance of existing herds. Taking that background and looking at the report presented to us of the deer movement study that they conducted at high altitude, we came to the conclusion by their standards there really is no movement. There's another document in your package, Big Game Winter Range. Big Game Winter Range is that area occupied by big game animals during winter months. Okay. They say that they don't make an arbitrary decision. They, to quote them, let the game tell us through their use what is winter range and where it is located. Taking that and looking at the summary developed by the fellow who did the study, we come to the conclusion, and his documentation was, now I'm looking at the document, the migratory status of black-tailed deer in Josephine County. 16% of the deer moved at least 1,000 feet lower in elevation and utilized so-called designated winter range. 16%. 46% moved at least 150 feet, and another 37% made no seasonal migration or movement at all. Well, if we use their standard of letting the game tell us where they winter, we come to the conclusion there's no winter range utilization. At the in the questions and answers, DFW indicated to us there was concern because of some extreme kill-offs in very severe winters back in the 60s and the 70s, and they were concerned that there be habitat for the deer to escape to if we experience that again. We rationalized that back in the 60s, we did not have the development that we have today in these various areas. And so the availability of this open land obviously did not save them then. There's no good reason to think that it will now. Our conclusion on all of that was that the present limitation serves no rational purpose. The feeling of the subcommittee was that we ought to scrap the deer out overlay altogether. But given the concern of fish and wildlife, we modified that somewhat, that they are, as it trusts to us, very concerned about the south-facing slope of Grayback Mountain, between Grayback and the California border, and they're very concerned about the area around Galice. So, for accommodation purposes, hopefully to satisfy everybody's interest, our ultimate recommendation was that you do away with the overlay in all but those critical concern areas. And then somewhere, I can't tonight put my finger on it, there was a study by Fish and Wildlife that the wild deer, and we're not talking about the ones you're used to in your backyards, we're talking about those up high, do not go within 300 yards of a road. Okay? Now, I don't know, as an old road hunter, I'm not sure how valid that observation is, but that's their position. So we also built in an accommodation of that 300-yard thing.
Mr. Swift.
And that's basically where we got the proposal.
Mr. Swift, it says 300 feet.
300 feet, pardon me. So that's what the advisory committee did. That's why we did it. And it's now up to Planning Commission to appraise that.
Are there any questions?
Mr. Swift, these areas around Galise and South Slope of Grayback, how would they be delineated under this update? Do you have a map? Or I see you've got all slopes within below 3,500 feet, 225 degree aspects. I'm not sure if that's your actual definition of where this would be or not.
That tracks with actually the proposals that they said were of critical concern to them.
I see the coast range.
Oh, the south slope of
Grayback.
So, there's no map to, your proposal has no map to no. Map with it, right?
Well, we have to come up with some kind of more specific definition.
I just want to add that there's also there was also an area in the Williams Creek area, which we and Cave Creek drainage, that were identified by the Fish and Wildlife Department, and those that, that we would want to get to the drainage.
Which what their comment was?
Pardon?
That was there.
Yeah, Fish and Wildlife said that those specific areas, those were areas where they actually did track some deer moon down from higher elevations. Specific places, and the reason that we don't have the high elevations that we have in Jackson County and other places, and the migratory habits of the deer seem to be really high elevations. The only place we actually have that group is one area that were identified that the deer actually do use. We thought migration was a little too strong in terms of what they do. But their behavior, where they do change on by the studies that were presented to us at the normal rest of the deer winter range. If you look at the map of the reviews, it's going to the 25 exactly, and that wasn't created with any actual evidence of where the deer actually go, meaning to
do you recall why they recommended why the 25 elevation was?
It was simply drawn on a map.